Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Dr. Sydney Everhart, and she is a postdoctoral fellow at the Oregon State University. Good morning to you, Sydney.
Good morning, LaVon. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you're doing the same. I know it's a little early for you out there in Oregon, but you're probably used to getting off early in the day.
I do, yeah.
Yes.
It's nice.
Okay, behind your name are a whole bunch of letters, and we want to talk about trees and mysteries and all that sort of thing. But before we do that, I think you need to kind of bring us back to Atlantic and tell us your ties here.
Well, so I grew up in Atlantic, and I went to AHS and graduated there and played flute in the marching band and went on to do my bachelor's degree at the University of Iowa and played in the Hawkeye Marching Band. But then thereafter, I started to get into research as what I wanted to do for my career.
Mm-hmm. And who sort of mentored you and gave you that inspiration?
Well, my dad, of course.
Yes. That's Eldon and, I'm sorry, your mom's name is?
Pamela.
Pam. Eldon and Pam Everhart had lived in Atlantic for a long time, and a lot of folks know Eldon because of his work in Extension for years and years. And so he just kept you involved. You were involved with the Iowa Horticulture magazine.
That's right. You know, I was really lucky to have a dad who traveled around the state and did all of these various things. He'd take me on his trips to different farms when he'd have consultations. And I think those kinds of activities are what really got me interested mm-hmm. in science as a career.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you mentioned you were at the University of Iowa. That's where you got
yep.
your bachelor's degree. Where did you go from there?
I decided to do my master's degree in biology, and I did my master's at the University of Central Missouri, which is in Warrensburg, Missouri. It's about 3 hours to 4 hours away from Atlantic, just south of here. And I did tree canopy research. So I studied little microbes that grow on the bark of trees and vines, and I actually learned how to climb trees using the doubled rope climbing method and climbed up to 100 feet high in some of these trees to sample bark. So that we could look at it and see what's growing on it in the lab.
When you were little, did you love to do stuff like that when you were little?
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I always had this adventure. Okay. So that really got, you know, I was really inspired by scientists that could make amazing discoveries. And the tree canopy is one of those areas of research that we know little about. So I was really on the edge mm-hmm. of discovery.
Well, you know, there's not everybody who's willing to climb 100 feet in the air, even with all those ropes attached. So that may limit some of that research. But
oh, for sure.
Tell us more about the research that you did do and that you are doing.
Well, so the work that I did for my master's degree was in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. One of the reasons we did that work there was because it's a biodiversity hotspot. And by that, I mean it has a greater number of species than most other places in the world. That has to do some with its geological history. But then the tree canopy area, because it had not been looked into as an area for this biodiversity, that was one of our target areas. So we could climb these trees, sample the bark, and look at what kind of microbes were growing. And so I looked at specifically what are called slime molds. Most people might be familiar with slime molds because there's one that will grow on lawns and sometimes tree stumps, and it's called the dog vomit slime mold. It's got a really disgusting name, but it's pretty cool.
Well, it probably disgusts us when we find out we have it, so it's probably a good name. So that grows high in the trees also, that's similar.
Yes, other species that are in the same group of organisms grow high in the tree, but the little ones that grow high in the tree, they're very very tiny and oftentimes brilliantly colored. Some of them can have an iridescent color, a shimmering of different rainbow of colors, and we don't know why. So,
and what, do they damage the trees?
In fact, they don't. They're what's called microbial predators. Mm-hmm. They're actually an amoeba, which means that they're they have a certain phase of their life cycle where they're a single-celled organism, and they have the ability to move across the surface of the bark, and they actually consume bacteria and other spores. They're kind of a scavenger.
So they could be good.
They are good, yes, yes.
I'm thinking you probably did some magnificent photography also while you were up there.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I got a lot of photography. Most of it, though, was using the microscope.
Uh-huh. Got to get close up on those teeny little
things.
Yes. So that was that some of the first tree climbing experience with the ropes that you did?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I mean, I've done some rappelling in some of the rocky areas in Iowa, but I'd never done tree climbing itself.
Okay. Now, on your website, I noticed, I think there's a picture of you in Washington, D.C. climbing.
Yes. So that was an interesting opportunity. We actually got invited by National Geographic's group. They were doing a bio blitz in one of the parks in Washington, D.C., so our group came out and helped with the survey of the tree canopy.
Okay, so you've traveled quite a lot with your research and all of your work.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't even gotten to Oregon yet. You're in Missouri, you worked in the Smoky Mountains, but then you're also in Georgia.
Yeah, so my interest in research was really trying to figure out why microscopic organisms occur where they do. Much of this kind of concept has not been studied in detail because it's so hard, particularly in the tree canopy, to look at those kind of patterns. And so when I moved on to do my PhD research, I wanted to be able to quantify some of these spatial patterns of why they occur where they do, which is why I moved into plant pathology as my field of research. So plant pathology is studying plant diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so the disease that I worked on causes diseases of peaches. Of course, I worked in the peach state, so that's where what plant I worked on. And the neat thing about my work there was that I actually got to use a weird virtual reality system in order to look at three-dimensional spatial patterns of these microorganisms in the tree canopy. So my work used this virtual reality system to create three-dimensional maps of all of the diseased locations that happen in a peach tree. And then I got to look at those patterns in detail using some spatial statistics.
So that says to me, Sydney, you also have to be highly skilled in all the technology and the new technology as it comes along.
Yeah, I mean, that's creativity. You have to think outside of the box and come up with novel applications.
Mm-hmm. So then, and now, you are at Oregon State University, and I know behind your name it says USDA. I think we all know what that stands for. But then AFRI-NIFA, what does that stand for?
That's a tough acronym if I can remember.
Well, that's okay.
AFRI-NIFA. So that's the Agriculture Food Research Initiative and the National Institute of Food and something else. It's a national program related to the USDA. And my position here is funded by a grant that I was able to write and receive before I came here.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in Oregon?
Just about 6 months now.
Okay, so you're still probably getting acquainted with everything and getting to know, looking out there for what you can do in Oregon. Obviously, there's a lot of trees in Oregon also.
There are, and you've segued beautifully into the problem that I'm looking at now, which is there's a huge problem here in the forests in Oregon, and it's a disease that's called sudden oak death that's decimating some of the natural tan oaks and native trees on the West Coast. Now, tan oaks are not native to the Midwest, so this particular pathogen is not affecting the Midwest as we speak, but there is potential for this pathogen to move over to the East Coast, to the Smoky Mountains area. It hasn't yet done so, but it's a huge threat.
So we never know, I guess, how this may apply with the work you're doing in Oregon that you've done in other states may apply all across the country. So we probably should just pay attention to what you're doing, Sydney. Now,
yeah.
You've mentioned the Great Smoky Mountains a couple of times, and somebody told me that you're the inspiration for a mystery novel. How did that happen?
In fact, that happened when I was doing a tree climbing demonstration when I was in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. We had a group of people that were invited to come to a demonstration at one of the research stations in the park. And one of those people was Carolyn Jordan. She's a author, but this is what she does, I believe, just in her as a hobby,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily as her career right now, but she's become actually quite a hit. And so she got to see my tree climbing demonstration. And that fueled the inspiration for a book.
Out on a Limb, a Smoky Mountain
That's
Mystery,
right.
I believe is the. So you could look that up if you wanted to. It would be fun to read that, knowing that there's a little bit of tie there with Sydney Everhart, who grew up in Atlantic. One last question: How do you've mentioned how your dad inspired you and what you learned? any other things that you've carried with you that you feel came from growing up in Atlantic or rural Iowa County?
Yeah. So, in fact, I mentioned playing flute and piccolo. And I have to say that, so I worked with Dee Burcham. She's in Atlantic, and she teaches young students. And so I was one of her students. And one of the things that I did was I played in competitions where I had to give solo presentations. And, you know, you have to practice a lot. Mm-hmm. Even as a high school student, you have to put in a large number of hours of time to be able to do those competitions. Standing up in front of judges and having to play, that's exactly the same thing I do when I give speaking presentations. I think that that kind of activity is actually what gave me my self-confidence to be a public speaker.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we want to thank you very much. We could, I'm sure, visit much longer, but our time has run out. We want to thank you very much, Dr. Sydney Everhart, for visiting with us today. And until next time, here's a thought. When the going gets too easy, you may be going downhill.